Hello, and welcome to Climate Emergency Manchester, or CEM for short. I'm Simon.
I'm Chloe.
I'm Lauren.
We've got a bumper pack of stuff to cover this month. So much, in fact, we'll continue to release episode 7, like episode 6, in segments. So you can listen at your leisure, and we can talk about everything we want to. First things first, we need to start with an apology. We had planned to release an August episode dedicated to the updated climate change framework, but our recording space fell through, so we're going to look at it this month instead. We'll also talk about September Scrutiny Week, green skills, and housing retrofit. If you're new to this podcast and haven't already, take a listen to episodes 1 to 3. These are short explainer podcasts that will be useful in understanding what we discuss in episode 7, especially episode 3, which is an introduction to carbon budgets. We're going to dive into the climate change framework version 2.0. If I start with a little bit of context, and if I don't give great context, one of you can do it instead. The framework 2.0 is an 83-page report. It comes with 175 recommended actions organized into categories of where there is agency to act. It was presented as a draft in July Scrutiny Week, and now a final report was presented in September at the same committee, the Environment and Climate Change Scrutiny Committee. And the headline piece that I took away from the update was that, and I quote, "Manchester has not been reducing its direct emissions by the targeted 13% per year, and so we are not currently on track to stay within our carbon budget, and are at risk of missing our first milestone to reduce the city's direct emissions by 50% by 2025. And having written the notes for this podcast, I would just say, keep 2025 in your head. Because a lot of what we're going to talk about talks about that 50% reduction in direct emissions, and just keep thinking, 2025. Chloe and Lauren, going to try something new?
Go for it.
If you had to describe the discussion, just the discussion at Scrutiny, as an emotion, what would it be?
How we felt about it? I was exasperated.
No. I don't want to go as far as to say suicidal, but, you know, it's getting there. Very, very depressed.
Yeah, I was in a similar space, very depressed and exasperated. What about the updated framework? Well, firstly, anything about the context that I gave, is there any more information that you would say about the framework itself?
So what I would say is that it first came in July, and if you'd asked me how I felt then, I think it just would have been not an emotion, it's been hot, because it was in the middle of the absolute heat wave. So there should have been, you know, there couldn't have been a greater sense of like urgency about it then. And when it came this time, it was preceded by videos of floods in Pakistan. So that is the context of this 83-page report. I just find that really jarring that in both times it landed in like a really visible sense of crisis.
And not just a video, is it? They did a minute's silence.
Yeah, so that just shows that you can do different things with the format. Next time you get told you can't speak, you can't do that. That was, I liked that touch. It was nice, as long as it, you know, it's used meaningfully and doesn't become a gimmick.
I would have liked to have seen a bit more of a recognition of the failure of the first framework within the introduction to this framework. Obviously, it does say that we're not on track. We'd only been cutting emissions by 5%, I think it was, instead of the 13% that we needed to. But there wasn't really any reasons given as to why we were so far off that target. We need a bit of a post-mortem on the first framework. Otherwise, what's going to stop things from continuing the way that they have been? What's going to change? How are we going to do things differently?
That's it. exactly. When you read on that key line that you read out, Simon, which I think has now been put in bold, that might have been a difference between the final version and the draft. It says we're not on track and then really swiftly moves on. So in any other context that you were in, at work, if you'd said this is really not on track, wouldn't you just stop, begin to think about why, rather than just rushing?
Look at your KPIs.
Look at your KPIs.
Which we'll come back to you, KPIs, I think. Given that you said that, Lauren, what do we understand to be the biggest difference between version 1.0 and 2.0?
I don't think I'm the person to ask. Sorry.
What would either of you say the council or the agency, the climate change agency, say about the difference between versions 1.0 and 2.0?
Whatever they say are the differences, I think there's a sort of a theatre and a presentation about what the differences are. And there are now, two different faces that are presenting it, neither of whom were presenting 1.0. But I wouldn't want to say there is this one particular action or one bit of proposals that makes it better. I think it's a very deliberate attempt to make it look like everything's okay by just presenting it in a much better fashion. So that detail is part of the... It's in some ways it's good, but it's also part of the problem because most people won't have time to wade through that, and will... Even people who take a cursory look will think, oh, okay, this looks in hand.
Important to note that the people presenting it were Sam Nicholson, the director of Manchester Climate Change Agency, and an officer for MCC, Dave Holston.
I'm sure that all those people have... A lot of work clearly has gone into this. Like, I definitely want to put that there. Like, even though I said the detail is bombarding, like, a lot of work has gone into that. But then again, the people that are working on it have all been involved in climate change plans in Manchester, maybe not in their current roles, but in some roles throughout the whole period that we're saying about. So how easy is it for you to actually kind of step back and say who's to blame for this if you've also been involved in that, or even just see what has gone wrong?
And not necessarily in a really accusatory way, but pinning blame on a person.
So that's not to say that, again, that good work hasn't been done, but do you maybe need to bring in a fresher perspective just to help with that lessons learned? It's really hard to draw lessons if you are in the throat of it, and I would say that, about myself, I've been involved in something.
It is so enormous with so many disparate parts to it. How do you begin to track something like that and say, actually, this is where it's gone wrong or there? Like,
what do you think was good about it?
I think it was very frank about how far off we are and the scale of the challenge, and not sort of shying away from, we need to be, I think it was something like 60,000 homes need to be retrofit every year, and that we're nowhere near that currently, and also very honest about the lack of funding, that huge developments need to be made in order for us to raise the money and then deliver it at the pace that's required. But I guess that in itself just feels like such an impossible task that it is overwhelming.
Yeah, there was a greater honesty and acceptance about the scale of the challenge. So I think we have to say that's good. What we're saying is the problem is just that it doesn't follow through to saying kind of lessons learned, or is there an alternative? Is there a contingency plan? But that honesty was good. And I'd also hope that tracks through to other communications. So without trying to overwhelm people, is this being spoken about, that we're not on track in terms of the city's emissions, or would there be some events where, everything's fine, you just need to do this? So I like that honesty, but just to make sure it is following with how this has been spoken about.
And they haven't moved the goalposts yet. So we're still talking about 2038.
For how much longer?
Yeah.
But you're right, yeah,
at the moment. Which, at this point, it's like, we're never going to hit that. So do we just move the goalposts now?
That's what I mean by a kind of a plan, a contingency plan. If you look at it and you do think it through, it looks like the goalposts are going to have to be moved. So if there's no indication of that happening.
If we move the goalposts beyond 2038, we can't increase the amount of carbon budget we have, because that's rock solid. That's in order to stay within 2 degrees with Paris.
Mm-hmm.
If we extend beyond 2038, how would that... If we're so over our path anyway, I'm not sure that moving the goalposts would help us.
Gives you more time to hope and pray and let something magical be invented in a lab. It's just... The other thing that you could do is that, you know, carbon budgets, you might quietly, like, retire them as a way of thinking. I mean, I know we've got our explainer, but you just try and, like, find other ways of talking about it that don't get around that fact.
Let's come on to some councillor comments, because that chime with what you were talking about, both of you there. Councillor Holt from Chorlton, as you just did, Lauren, commended the honesty of the report and about the lack of progress on targets and the setting out of scenarios. She questioned how we're going to make decisions now, because what we've got here is a very frank, very honest report of what's been going on, although not in the ways that we would necessarily like, and several pathways of which we could still get to zero carbon by 2038, but no recommendations there. They're very, very reticent to give any sort of recommendation or say this is our preferred pathway. The scrutiny committees that they present these things to don't have any decision-making powers, so there's no... All they can do is recommend, and there were no recommendations as a result of this, saying we should stick to 13 or 16% year on year now, or do the other pathway, which was to relax for a few years and do 10% reductions and then 29% year on year. We talked a lot about that in episode 6, so if that's new to you, go back and listen again. So all that we've got so far is lots of scenarios, some questions, whether you think they were good or not, and now it's all on the exec to make a decision, the council exec.
So will we find out what decision they have made?
Great question. This could now drift on, because this framework is going to be a living, breathing document for years to come now, certainly to 2025.
It was really unclear what would happen next after these 83 pages. And then maybe it speaks to another frustration that we sometimes have, and I think others do across Manchester, even those who care about other issues as well as climate. It's unclear what happens between, like, ideas for policy. So that those 83 pages had quite a lot of good ideas, whether they be implemented or not, it's hard to know. But where did they come from? Were they from sort of citizens groups? Were they from other councils? Are they from other think tanks? And then what happens now? Who decides which one goes best? No wonder it's sometimes called a sausage factory.
Councillor Razak from Whalley Range talked about the term carbon budget and said it was too complex.
I don't know that it's complex. It just hasn't been communicated at all.
Yeah.
It's the problem.
I think that's it. Like, it's... You just use the, like, money analogy, which I've heard people use. Yeah. And if people were spoken to about it, it's not... Like, those two words are fairly straightforward.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty simple concept to grasp. It's just that they haven't done any communications to explain what it is.
That would enable you to drop it if you decide that this isn't really working for you, as you know, it looks like we're going to do it. That's why you could just sort of retire it and start talking. Just use something like green, mobilise people behind that. Something that...
How much do you fear that they are going to drop the carbon budget?
I think pushing back to 2050 is more likely as a first step. But I'm just trying to think, like, going through, like, what what it would look like. And this is because it's an institution which isn't good at talking about failure and missing targets. I mean, it wouldn't be an announcement like we're no longer following the carbon budget. It's more that there would be another way of talking about how you are green, tackling climate change, that you'd start hearing instead in the hope that carbon budgets were forgotten about.
A couple of things I want to come to then. One is the idea of this updated framework being full of trackable, measurable targets. Now, they're not lying when they say that, but I feel like the promise was maybe a little bit oversold compared to what was delivered. Now, the problem with the data that the agency and the partnership depend on is it's all, or the majority of it seems to come from national data, which comes from top down, and it's got a 2-year lag. So really hard to sort of measure anything when we know we're so far behind. We need much more up-to-date information.
That's the scatter model that they reference.
Yeah, they reference that in the report a few times. And Annette Wright, Councillor Wright, made that point. Councillor Wright from Hume asked about retrofit and financing and how can you keep us updated on the money that is secure to do this, because it's very clear in the report that there's not enough money in the public purse to be able to afford this.
Yeah, the biggest risk is financing.
Mm-hmm. That's just one KPI, key performance indicator, that you might want. How are we financing and securing money to be able to finance the changes that we need to make? But also in terms of, if everything is just predicated on information that's already 2 years late, that doesn't feel like the best that we could do. And that was the answer, really, that Sam Nicholson from the Climate Change Agency had. Most data still comes from top down. It's hugely complicated on scatter, is what she said, that platform that they use. And I just thought that's not a great answer. That's not a, this is where we could go, this is where we could do better, this is how we could get more granular information, which everyone recognises that we need.
I think she said something like, we've got to get comfortable with the data being messy and
just imperfect. Getting on with it anyway.
Yeah, yeah. So I think both those things can be true. You can say this data is imperfect, but therefore you can't wait until the point when it
is... It's not going to get any better. Yeah. Your data isn't going to get any better if you do nothing. Yeah. It's only going to get worse. Yeah. So you might as well, just get comfortable with the data that we have and just try and make some progress.
On the tracking point and the granular information that different councillors asked about, Sam Nicholson from Manchester Climate Change Agency said that the partnership, Manchester Climate Change Partnership, have asked how the agency can provide a more granular view of progress. And she said, that is an action I am happy to take.
Mm.
Now, my perception of that would be, you've been trailing an updated framework which was going to provide measurable targets all year into last year. You've given us a draft look at it, you've given us a final look at it, and now you're taking the action to see how we can track those targets.
Take it as an action. I do hear that phrase a bit. Who's going to follow up on that?
Well, it won't be followed up under the next scrutiny because we're looking at something different then. Yeah. So I don't know. And it's just like the glyphosate.
Yeah.
Merry-go-round, which we came back to again at the end of this scrutiny.
Hokey-cokey is the epic game of hokey-cokey.
But this one, for me, is so much bigger because we're saying we're way off track with our carbon budget. These are some scenarios and targets associated with those scenarios that would get you there. You need to make some decisions about which ones we want to do. But if you can't then say, okay, we recognise that there's a problem, all of our data comes from top down and there's a 2-year lag, so it's not fit for purpose. You know, in the day-to-day machinations of the council, it's not fit for purpose. So here are a sub-layer of key performance indicators that will tell you, not that you've necessarily achieved reductions in emissions, but that are markers to say we are on our way, such as we've retrofitted so many houses or reduced parking in the city by so many parking spaces. We've increased active travel by so many cyclists per week or public transport journeys. There are lots of statistics that the council and the combined, the GM combined authority will have access to or could get access to, which is much more real time. And that stuff comes out in reports here and there, month in, month out, but it's not a consolidated pack of information that says on track, off track, or a middle way.
Yeah, and the entire success of the framework hinges on being able to monitor and track those KPIs, but we're just taking it as an action.
And no idea when it's going to return back.
We've teased around the edges of this report a little bit of the framework. Right, let's get into at least the headline stuff that this framework says must happen if we are to reduce direct emissions by 50% by 2025. There's that number again. We need to retrofit over 84,000 homes. 21% reduction in energy demand from domestic heating and hot water. 31% reduction in energy demand from domestic appliances and lighting. I won't read the whole list out, just maybe the biggest numbers. 61% reduction in overall energy demand from commercial premises. 58% reduction in overall energy demand from industrial buildings and processes. 100% of new houses must meet best practice zero carbon standards. 20% journeys made by active travel, walking, wheeling, cycling. 20% of journeys to be made by public transport. And 80% of the remaining passenger miles that are by cars, vans and motorbikes need to be electric or hybrid electric vehicle.
To really bring it back to the headlines, it's buildings and transport.
Yeah.
Buildings, transport. Huge numbers there. And that is how we save 50% of direct emissions by 2025.
So that's just to 2025.
So, I mean, the 2025 is the target that they've already set. Now, that is clearly not happening. But it still stands to reason, even if you push out 2025, we need to meet these milestones if we have any hope of meeting the larger one. But in order to get to just 50% reductions, those are the sorts of scales of things that we need to achieve and then achieve more for the next 50%.
Yeah, I think that word scale is really useful thinking about it, because even when things look like there's promising initiatives, they're just not on the scale. So retrofitting, it looks like when you compare it against data in other reports that we're currently doing less than 10% of what we should be.
Yeah.
Is it worth me or you, either of you, do we need to give the context about the carbon budget scenarios?
Yeah.
So I can read one and you can read another.
Yeah.
So the first scenario gets the city back on track by 2025, requires immediate large-scale action and investment to deliver 16% reduction in direct emissions per annum every year until 2038. This is a higher annual reduction than originally proposed, which was 13%, and much higher than the average achieved pre-pandemic, which was just under 5% per year.
So that was the, did you read that, the blue line?
Yeah.
Yeah. So then we have the green line, which ensures the city stays within its carbon budget to 2038 via a phased approach to emissions reduction. The first phase to 2025 requires a 10% reduction per annum in direct emissions, just below the levels achieved during lockdowns in 2020. So that's it's more than in the 2020 lockdowns. This provides time, that's what we're just hoping for, a bit of finger crossing, for the city to develop the projects, financial investment, it will happen during that time, and delivery systems needed in phase two. Phase two requires a much steeper reduction in direct emissions of 29%. Not sure where that 29% came from per annum every year to 2038. So that is a buying us time option.
And the final line, a very shallow dotted red line, which gets to 2027 and then drops like a stone. That is the one that says that on the rate we are currently decarbonising, we would have used up the entirety of the carbon budget for the 21st century by 2027. So that sort of gives the headlines of everything we've talked about, why it needs to happen, how it might happen. But again, the agency presenting these scenarios was at pains to say, we are not endorsing any one scenario. We are giving you some pathways that you could take, Manchester City Council. So we wait and see from the executive what they're going to do with all that information. And they've had the community assembly and a mandate from them. They've got this report from the Climate Change Agency. Lots of decisions to be made. When are they going to make them? Okay, anything else to say on the framework?
I don't think so. I mean, if anybody wants, if there's an interest to talk about any one of the 83 pages in more detail, this thing is going to be around for at least until 2025, so we can keep returning to it.
And I promise we will have show notes soon, and there'll be a link to this. If not, check in the description of the podcast and I'll put a link to the Council scrutiny page where you can view all of the reports for this scrutiny committee, this most recent one for September, and you can look back at other meetings and look at minutes and things like that. You know, we love doing that.
Exactly.
Doesn't mean you have to. We talked about the framework. I do encourage everyone to listen to this to at least read the headline, the first three pages or so of the framework. Go and get a sense of the urgency, because as much as we level the responsibility and so much of the accountability does sit with the council and its intermediaries, it is on all of us. And if we're not even going to take responsibility for the change ourselves, we at least need to get comfortable with the change that's going to be made.
Read the page one, if nothing else.
Yeah, this change is coming, and we need to get on board.